Good morning and welcome to Walking with Jesus Through the Word, one chapter per day. I'm Pastor Jason Van Bemmel from Forest Hill Presbyterian Church. Welcome to day 161 and Leviticus chapter 14. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much for this portion of your holy word. Please write it on our hearts today. Please help us to understand it and respond to your word in faith and love. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Leviticus 14. Then the Lord said to Moses, "This shall be the law of the leprous person for the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought to the priest, and the priest shall go out of the camp, and the priest shall look. Then, if the case of leprous disease is healed in the leprous person, the priest shall command them to take for him who is to be cleansed two live clean birds, and cedar wood, and scarlet yarn, and hyssop. And the priest shall command them to kill one of the birds in an earthenware vessel over fresh water. He shall take the live bird with the cedar wood and the scarlet yarn and the hyssop and dip them and the live bird in the blood of the bird that was killed over the fresh water. And he shall sprinkle it seven times on him who is to be cleansed of the leprous disease. Then he shall pronounce him clean, and shall let the living bird go out into the open field. And he who is to be cleansed shall wash his clothes, and shave off all his hair, and bathe himself in water, and he shall be clean. And after that he may come into the camp, but live outside his tent 7 days. And on the seventh day he shall shave off all his hair from his head, his beard and his eyebrows. He shall shave off all his hair, and then he shall wash his clothes and bathe his body in water, and he shall be clean. And on the eighth day he shall take two male lambs without blemish, and one ewe lamb a year old without blemish, and a grain offering of 3/10 of an ephah of fine flour mixed with oil, and one log of oil. And the priest who cleanses him shall set the man who is to be cleansed and these things before the Lord at the entrance of the tent of meeting. And the priest shall take one of the male lambs and offer it for a guilt offering, along with the log of oil, and wave them for a wave offering before the Lord. And he shall kill the lamb in the place where they kill the sin offering and the burnt offering in the place of the sanctuary. For the guilt offering, like the sin offering, belongs to the priest. It is most holy. The priest shall take some of the blood of the guilt offering, and the priest shall put it on the lobe of the right ear of him who is to be cleansed, and on the thumb of his right hand, and on the big toe of his right foot. Then the priest shall take some of the log of oil, and pour it into the palm of his own left hand, and dip his right finger in the oil that is in his left hand, and sprinkle some oil with his finger 7 times before the Lord. And some of the oil that remains in his hand the priest shall put on the lobe of the right ear of him who is to be cleansed, and on the thumb of his right hand, and on the big toe of his right foot, on top of the blood of the guilt offering. And the rest of the oil that is in the priest's hand he shall put on the head of him who is to be cleansed. Then the priest shall make atonement for him before the Lord. The priest shall offer the sin offering to make atonement for him who is to be cleansed from his uncleanness. And afterward he shall kill the burnt offering, and the priest shall offer the burnt offering and the grain offering on the altar. Thus the priest shall make atonement for him, and he shall be clean. But if he is poor and cannot afford so much, then he shall take one male lamb for a guilt offering to be waved to make atonement for him, and 1/10 of an ephah of fine flour mixed with oil for a grain offering, and a log of oil. Also 2 turtle doves or 2 pigeons, whichever he can afford. The one shall be a sin offering and the other a burnt offering. And on the 8th day he shall bring them for his cleansing to the priest, to the entrance of the tent of meeting before the Lord. And the priest shall take the lamb of the guilt offering and the log of oil, and the priest shall wave them for a wave offering before the Lord, and he shall kill the lamb of the guilt offering, and the priest shall take some of the blood of the guilt offering, and put it on the lobe of the right ear of him who is to be cleansed, and on the thumb of his right hand, and on the big toe of his right foot, And the priest shall pour some of the oil into the palm of his own left hand, and shall sprinkle with his right finger some of the oil that is in his left hand 7 times before the Lord. And the priest shall put some of the oil that is in his hand on the lobe of the right ear of him who is to be cleansed, and on the thumb of his right hand, and on the big toe of his right foot, in the place where the blood of the guilt offering was put. And the rest of the oil that is in the priest's hand, he shall put on the head of him who is to be cleansed, to make atonement for him before the Lord. And he shall offer of the turtle doves or pigeons, whichever he can afford, one for a sin offering and the other for a burnt offering, along with a grain offering. And the priest shall make atonement before the Lord for him who is to be cleansed. This is the law for him in whom a case of leprous disease is found, who cannot afford the offerings for his cleansing. The Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, When you come into the land of Canaan, which I gave you for a possession, and I put a case of leprous disease in a house in the land of your possession, then he who owns the house shall come and tell the priest, There seems to be some case of disease in my house. Then the priest shall command that they empty the house before the priest goes to examine the disease, lest all that is in the house be declared unclean. And afterward the priest shall go in to see the house, and he shall examine the disease. And if the disease is in the walls of the house with greenish or reddish spots, and if it appears to be deeper than the surface, then the priest shall go out of the house to the door of the house and shut up the house 7 days. And the priest shall come again on the 7th day and look. If the disease has spread on the walls of the house, then the priest shall command that they take out the stones in which is the disease, and throw them into an unclean place outside the city. And he shall have the inside of the house scraped all around, and the plaster that they scrape off they shall pour out in an unclean place outside the city. Then they shall take other stones, and put them in the place of those stones, and he shall take other plaster and plaster the house. If the disease breaks out again in the house, after he has taken out the stones and scraped the house and plastered it, then the priest shall go and look. And if the disease has spread in the house, it is a persistent leprous disease in the house, it is unclean. And he shall break down the house, its stones and timber and all the plaster of the house, and he shall carry them out of the city to an unclean place. Moreover, whoever enters the house while it is shut up, shall be unclean until that evening. And whoever sleeps in the house shall wash his clothes, and whoever eats in the house shall wash his clothes. But if the priest comes and looks, and if the disease has not spread in the house after the house was plastered, then the priest shall pronounce the house clean, for the disease is healed. And for the cleansing of the house he shall take 2 small birds, with cedar wood and scarlet yarn and hyssop, and he shall kill one of the birds in an earthenware vessel over fresh water, and shall take the cedar wood and the hyssop and the scarlet yarn along with the live bird, and dip them in the blood of the bird that was killed and in the fresh water, and sprinkle the house 7 times. Thus he shall cleanse the house with the blood of the bird, and with the fresh water, and with the live bird, and with the cedar wood and hyssop and scarlet yarn. And he shall let the live bird go out of the city into the open country. So he shall make atonement for the house, and it shall be clean. This is the law for any case of leprous disease, for an itch, for leprous disease in a garment or in a house, and for a swelling or an eruption or a spot, to show when it is unclean and when it is clean. This is the law for leprous disease. So here in Leviticus 14, we have a second chapter that deals with leprous diseases. But this focuses mostly on the sacrifices that are to be made when a leper is declared to be cleansed of his disease. And this is a reminder to us that all of our cleansing and all of our healing and all of our restoration from any effects of the fall is all paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ on the cross. His once-for-all sacrifice not only removes our sin and our guilt and provides peace with God and fellowship and the ground for thanksgiving, but even the healing of our earthly bodily diseases are paid for by the blood of Jesus. He heals all your diseases. Now, we receive forgiveness of sin in this life, but not freedom from sin completely until the life to come. And we receive sometimes healing from disease in this life, but ultimate healing and freedom from disease comes in the life to come. So we need to understand what Jesus paid for on the cross. We receive some of it now already and some of it not yet. But this sacrificial practice is a very important picture to us that all of our cleansing, of all of our uncleanness, including diseases, is all paid for by Jesus Christ. He is the Redeemer from sin and death and disease and all effects of the fall forever and ever. We see much of the same symbolism here that we've already talked about in earlier sacrifices. There's a couple of unique things here, however. You do see this, the birds, right? You've got two birds. One of them is killed. The other one is dipped in the blood of the dead bird and then used to sprinkle. And you've got the scarlet yarn and the hyssop. The idea is that the one bird goes free, and that's a picture of us, that we are freed, right? But we have the blood of the sacrifice applied to us, and that is what sets us free. And then the scarlet yarn should remind us of when Rahab is going to welcome the spies. She's going to have a scarlet cord that she ties outside of the window of her house that will be the marker that she belongs to God. And we are marked by the blood of Jesus. We are set apart, sanctified by the blood of Jesus, which is the fulfillment of that scarlet yarn. And the hyssop was the branch that was commonly used to apply the sacrificial blood and oil and water to God's people in the sacrificial system. But it was also hyssop that Jesus was given to drink sour wine or wine vinegar from a sponge that was on a hyssop branch at the cross. And so all of these symbolisms are pointing us to things that will ultimately be fulfilled on the cross. There's also a unique thing that's done with the blood and with the oil. So there's blood and oil that are brought. And like in the consecration of the priest, the blood was put on the right lobe of the ear and the right thumb and the big toe of the right foot. Here there's blood placed in all three places and then oil placed in all three places. Blood signifies cleansing, sanctifying, the work of Christ, the Son of God on the cross. Oil signifies anointing by the Holy Spirit. And again, they're put on the right lobe and the right thumb and the big toe of the right foot as a symbolism that our entire selves are sanctified and our entire selves are anointed, but also because Christ sits at the right hand of God the Father, and he is the one who sends his Holy Spirit on us. And so we're first cleansed by the blood of Jesus, and then we're anointed by the Holy Spirit, and those are two things that all believers receive when we are brought to Christ, when we are cleansed. The cleansing of the house is an interesting picture that I believe we can draw some lessons from it legitimately for the church. And that is, the church is the household of God, and there are times when infection comes into the church through false doctrine or through immorality. There's an infection that comes into the church, and so you have to remove the source of that infection. You have to practice church discipline and sometimes remove people who are causing stumbling for people who are within the church so that the church may be clean and whole. And there may be some times when some churches become so corrupt and so thoroughly infected by false doctrine that they no longer serve as suitable churches, and so it's best that they be dismantled and no longer regarded as part of the true church of Jesus Christ. So I think we can get some lessons for the church from the way that these leprous houses are taught, because unfortunately church history is full of leprous houses, whether it's through false teachings or corruption or immorality or other gross things that have come into the church through the evil influence of the world. Well, that's Leviticus chapter 14. Let's pray. Father, thank you that the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin and also heals all of our diseases, that he paid for all of our sins and he heals all of our weaknesses by his work on the cross and by his victorious resurrection. We thank you for Jesus, our Savior and Lord. We thank you for the hope that we have in him. Father, help us to trust in Christ. Help us to cling to Christ. Help us to walk with Christ always. And may your church be pure and holy, set apart for you. May you be glorified in your church, O Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, that's day number 161. Tomorrow, we're going to jump over to Romans again. Romans chapter 12 will be on tap for day 162. Hope you can join us for that. And I hope you have a blessed day in the Lord.